So last week, I've been, the Lord's laid on my heart, being more than a conqueror. So last week, just to recap, trials come, yeah?
Yep.
Yeah. The biggest mistake is that a lot of people think that when they come, God sends them. Unfortunately, some churches preach that. I know what he sent. He sent his son. He didn't send the trial, but he sent his son.
Amen.
We spoke about what was in the heart. When you're in the Word, faith rises. When you're in the world, unbelief rises. And it blocks that mustard seed. So lending your ear to the Word is very important. Being in communication with your Father is very important. I also just want to touch on some things as well that, you know, because faith comes by hearing the Word, right? But there are some things that we can also partake of that can increase the sensitivity of the Father's voice to our ear. So one of those things is fasting and prayer. I'm not going to preach on that today. It's just something that the Lord's laid on my heart really last minute. One day I will preach on this. He's leading me through this right now. He's teaching me how to fast and pray. I came from a background where it was, now it's a time for feasting. No, he says when you fast, so it's a command. Fasting. Fasting suppresses your flesh, so your spirit rises. See, before the fall, the spirit was on the throne. After the fall, spirit had to leave, and the flesh took the throne, and it's not its place. So now that we're born again, the Spirit is right back where it belongs, in man. We're not to be carnally minded, we're to be led by the Spirit. All I'm saying is that when you fast and pray, you tune your voice to your ear to the Father's voice. And you can hear more from Him, and it increases intimacy with your Father. And faith rises. You know, when Peter was walking down the street and his shadow healed people, I truly believe he was in a deep fast. He was so full of faith. It was so overflowing that it permeated into his shadow and it healed his atmosphere, healed the surroundings. I want that. I want that. I desire that. That's what I live for now. That I could walk and my shadow heals you. The baptism in the Holy Spirit. The Lord's laid this in my heart. I had something prepared and boom. That completely changed my life, changed my relationship with my Father in heaven. I thought that when you're saved, you're saved. You're just baptized in the Holy Spirit. There are three baptisms. The first sermon that I preached on when I was asked to preach was the baptism in the Holy Spirit, because it completely changed my relationship with my Father in heaven. First one is the baptism in water. Then there's the baptism into Christ. That is when you're sealed. That's when you're saved. And then there's the baptism into the Holy Spirit. And that is when you're endowed with power. Why am I preaching on this? Because it's the baptism into the Holy Spirit that allowed me to really start to listen to my Father's voice. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. And faith rises when you start to hear your Father more clearly, because there's so much noise. Even in churches, there sometimes can be so much noise. There's a lot of false teaching out there. I was taught that the baptism into the Holy Spirit was not true. It was the same as the baptism in Christ, salvation. So I didn't believe in speaking in tongues. I was contrary to that. I thought it was babble. I'd rather speak 5 intelligible words. And I was taught that it was only for the early church. So one day, me and my wife are driving up into the mountains, and my wife says to me, "We haven't asked a father to be baptized in the Holy Spirit." We only just heard that, and I just turned to her, and I'm like, "We'll ask right now." I'm not waiting. So we asked, and we asked the Father, "Father, we ask you, baptize us into the Holy Spirit." Nothing happened. You know, there wasn't a feeling, nothing. We just kept driving. 1 month later, I come home from work, just a normal day, completely normal day. My wife is sitting down, and I have a chat with her, and she's like, "Guess what?" And I'm like, "What?" She goes, "I just had this urge, and I attempted to, and I spoke in tongues. It just came out." And I looked at her, and I'm like, "What are you talking about?" We go, "Oh, I asked." "I want to speak in tongues too." Thought, "Lord, you are no respecter of people. We're all the same." So what I did is I then attempted to. Now, mind you, I was reading the scriptures even prior, and I read that in the scriptures about the speaking in tongues. And before the baptism in the Holy Spirit, nothing came out. It was weird. But after being baptized into the Holy Spirit, and I froze. I'm like, "What just came out my mouth?" I knew. You know, when you just know that you know. Very powerful to speak in the Spirit. You can't stuff that prayer up because you don't know what you're saying. You utter mysteries to the Father. Very powerful. Ephesians chapter 6, prayer in the Spirit. It's one of the main pieces of your weaponry. A baptism in the Holy Spirit, what I'm trying to say, it drew me so close to my Father in heaven. Intimacy with Him. I knew I was loved by Him. It's very important because that's what builds you up. Nothing else. It's just the intimacy and the relationship you have with your Father. That's what builds you up. Hearing His voice, faith rises. Then that affects your response when you start praying. Because you know Him more, you spend time with Daddy more, you're going to start being more like Dad. You're going to start speaking more like Dad. And when we pray, our response, and it's His word, He has no choice. He has to answer that. He has to honor His word. It's spiritual law. And then the mountain moves. So it's really today, I want to, oh my goodness, I don't even know how much time we've got, but we'll try and get there. to deep dive into really our response to God, and then His response, our prayer and His answer. So what am I saying here? What are those 2 points? One of those points is that without God, man cannot. I can't do anything without Him. But because He dwells within me now, I can do all things. Now, there's a paradox there. See, I was taught that God's in control. He can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. No. Without man, God will not. There needs to be a partnership between the two. So your prayer, your response, it's an earthly license for God for him to intervene here on earth. That's what prayer is. For years before I prayed, I had no clue how to pray. Baptism into the Holy Spirit changed everything. Completely everything. It completely flipped my entire being, everything upside down. When I was saved, I thought I was flipped. Then I got baptized into the Holy Ghost, and then I got flipped again. Prayer, it was never meant to be a religious activity. No. As a young boy, I remember my grandmother, wonderful, you know, woman, and she used to pray. I used to remember. She used to sit down with her rosary beads, Catholic background, Hail Mary, full of grace. You know, guys can't remember it anymore. It doesn't make a difference. Blessed is thy fruit of womb, Jesus, yeah. And around she would go. And I'd just be so confused by that, you know. But I thought, oh, you know, that's what they do. She must be speaking to God. Okay, but why is it just the same thing over and over again? Imagine my daughter just came up to me and just said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed, and kept saying it to me. At one point, I would just want to go, stop. She doesn't do that. She says, Dad, good morning. I love you. I want to go play basketball now. That's prayer. That's communing with God. Dad, I want to go for a swim. After the swim in the pool, Dad, I want to go to the beach. Prayer. For us believers, see, prayer is not an option. It's a necessity. We need to pray. See, if we do not pray, heaven just shuts down. If we do not pray, heaven shuts down. So, God gave legal authority on earth only to human beings. Humans are the most powerful creature on earth. So I've given this revelation freely. I've received, so freely I give. Let's pray that you stick with me this morning. See, you don't have a spirit. No one in here has a spirit. You are a spirit. You are a spirit. You're not a flesh with a spirit in the back pocket. You are a spirit. Your body, my body, is 100% dirt. The word comes to it, human, comes from two words, humus, man. Humus means dirt. Man comes from the Hebrew word ish, I-S-H. Ish means spirit. In Genesis, God said, let us make man, ish, and put it into the humus. Humus man. And we are human. Drop a syllable. See, all this information is very important because it leads you to being able to understand your authority here on earth, your dominion, so that you can be more than a conqueror.
Amen.
Very important. Then God said in Genesis, let us have dominion. Let them have dominion. He said, let us make them in our image and in our likeness. But he said, let them have dominion. So the only being on this planet that has legal rights to dominate is a spirit being in a dirt body, a human. Any spirit without a dirt body on earth is illegal. That is why demons try and possess a human. Because without that, without a body, they can't function. They want to get in the body so they can function, so that they can attempt to become legal. That's why we have been given the authority to cast them out. The most powerful instrument that you can possess on the earth is your body. That's why when you lose your body, when I lose my body, we become illegal and we have to leave. To be absent from the body, present with the Lord for the believer. To be absent from the body is to be present in Hades for the unbeliever. Spirit can never die. It only can be transferred. This is a big point. God chose to make himself illegal on earth. Remember, God said, let them have dominion. God is a spirit being. He has no dirt body. See, when God speaks, it becomes law. And he cannot violate, he cannot break his law. He cannot break his word. Therefore, God needs humans in order for him to interfere here on earth so that he can't break his own law. Nothing can happen on earth without the cooperation of a human being. Listen to me, church. That is how important, that is how powerful you are. That is what Satan does not want you to know. How important and how powerful you are on earth because you have a body. I wonder why God wants to heal us all the time. He needs our body. Yes, he loves us. Yes, he's merciful and he's kind. But he needs a body to work through. So now that I ask for healing for someone, oh my goodness me, I really know why. Father, you need a body, another vessel, another willing vessel, so that you can pour your power through and affect earth. Jesus says in John 17, I think it's John 17, Father, do not take them out of the world. Leave them in the world. He needs bodies. So the legal authority to dominate earth was given to humans. I'm just recapping. God did not include himself in the legal authority. He said, let them have dominion. Only spirits in a body are legal. Any spirit without a body is illegal. Any supernatural influence on earth is only legal through a man. That's full on. But it's true. I'd like to go, if we can go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to 7. Now, the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Ah, Eve. Then the serpent said to the woman, that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, the three. She took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Have you ever asked, I asked this question once, why didn't God intervene? Why didn't God stop Eve when she picked up that fruit? You're telling me that an almighty, all-powerful, omniscient, you know, omnipotent, omnipresent, Jehovah, Elohim could not stop a skinny woman from picking the fruit and eating it. See, if he had come in and interfered, he would have broken his word. And we could never have trusted him again. He'd be like us. Now, we look at Satan. Satan is a spirit being. 100%, yes? So on the earth, he is illegal. But he wants to do business with this woman. But he needs a body. So what does he do? He goes and knocks on the serpent's, the house of the serpent's, you know, the door. Says, excuse me, serpent. I need you to loan me your body for about 10 minutes. I have some business with that woman over there. Serpent, there's no worries. Come straight in. What's the serpent? 100% dirt. Satan needs that serpent temporarily in order to become legal, to function, to deceive. And in Genesis 3:14, we read, so the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle and more than every beast of the field. And on your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. Why? I guess snakes at one point must have had legs. Because he allowed Satan to use his body, he was cursed. After that, there's the fall of the entire human race. Everything fell. And God could not get involved. Not because he's weak, not because he's not powerful, but because he is too faithful to his word. I said this before. One could say that the fall of humanity is because of God's faithfulness to his word. Not that he wanted it to fall, but he had a plan. Satan knew God's character. Satan lived with God. He knew him. He knew that he would not break his word. So when God said, let them have dominion, Satan's ears pricked up. Because he knew that God wouldn't come in. Question, if Satan knew that God would come in, would he have maybe done what he had done? I think that Satan thought, I got him. Isaiah 14:13. Let's go there. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the farther sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And the Lord said in verse 15, no, you won't. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. In Genesis 3, we lost our authority, we lost our dominion, we lost our Father, the Spirit left. We became adopted to a father, an imposter father, a lying, murdering thief, father of lies, and humanity took on the nature of the evil one. Self-absorbed, self-conscious, full of fear. Look at this world. Self-absorbed, self-conscious, full of fear. It's clear as day. Even the Holy Spirit had to leave. Genesis 6:3, it says, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he indeed is flesh. Even the spirit had to leave because he's a spirit. Became illegal. Had to leave. The body was contaminated. But Satan forgot that God could still speak. Couldn't come in, but he could still speak. And in Genesis 3:15, the Lord has some words to Satan. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head. I like he shall crush your skull. And you shall bruise his heel. What's God saying? Satan, that was pretty crafty. You know that I can't come in. You know that I can't break my word. But I'll make you a promise, Satan. I'll make you a promise. I promise you that the same woman that you used to mess this whole thing up, I'm going to use the same vessel, the same woman. She's going to give me a body. I'm going to become legal. And I'm going to crush your skull on that cross. Amen. Let's praise him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Glory, Jesus.
He came in legally. Now we know why Jesus had to come as a man. See, in the Old Testament, I believe that it's just a repetition of that promise. I'm coming, I'm coming, I'm coming, I'm coming, I'm coming. And Satan is freaking out, full of fear, drenched with fear. We can go to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 4. And I'm reading this one from the New Living Translation. And it says, you see, Isaiah, you know, he saw more than coming. He actually saw. He said, look, Isaiah 7:14. The virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to the son and will call him Emmanuel. Emmanuel. What does that word mean? Yes. Manu. Mankind, Elohim, God inside a man's body. Authority, dominion, and the Spirit of God in man was lost through Adam. It was regained through Christ, the Son, legally. You see, it says that the virgin shall conceive a child. The child is the vessel. Does it say, you know, the virgin shall conceive a son? There are some virgins, but the New Living Translation, I believe it's very accurate, it says that the virgin will conceive a child. The child is the vessel. The child is the dirt body. The child's name is Jesus. Savior. She will give birth to a son. The son is the Christ. Matthew 3:17, the father says, "This is my son, with whom I am well pleased." God put the Christ, the son, into the child. Into the dirt. And Jesus became legal on earth. Is it any wonder that when Jesus was on earth, that he healed everybody? See, in the past, you would have to contend with man. And man had to respond to God in order for God to be able to work through man. But when Jesus came, that barrier was gone. He could do anything. He became legal again on earth. He healed everybody, everyone that was willing to be healed. Yes, Jesus, he did come to preach the good news. He came to call sinners to repentance. He came to set the captives free. And he did come to make us sons and daughters and return our hearts back to the Father. But the encapsulation of why he came, the fullness, I believe it's in 1 John 3:8. We can go to 1 John 3:8. Says, "He who sins is of the devil, and the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested." Yes, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And what are the works of the devil? Disease, poverty, lack, death, fear, the lies go, just they go on and on. They are the trials that we face. Did he come to destroy some of them? All of them. It says might, though. On the cross, did Jesus leave any stone unturned? Everything was accomplished on the cross. So I wonder why that there's that word might. I believe that that's up to us. Those who believe their authority in Christ will destroy the works of the devil. Those who do not believe their authority in Christ will not destroy the works of the devil. As a church, for believers who believe their authority in Christ, we are to cast out demons, cleanse the lepers, heal the sick, raise the dead, resist the devil, and speak to the mountain. Amen. We have authority. We have been given dominion. We have the keys again. It grieves me when I see brothers and sisters in Christ and many come to me and they have no idea of their authority in Christ. No clue. They believe that, you know, I have this disease on me, that's just my lot in life. Many come to me fearful of demons, fearful of demons. Not understanding their authority, the power that they have at their disposal if they yield themselves and submit themselves to God, for God to just pour his power through them and deal with any circumstance and situation, if we dare to believe. It's why I'm here today. To destroy the works of the devil. To destroy false teaching. Because false teaching is devastating. Oh, Lord, it is devastating. You know, God did his bit 2,000 years ago. Many are still waiting on him. They're going to be waiting a long time. God's waiting on us to believe him. Not to try this Christianity, but to trust him, to become it, to become like him. You can't try this. Joe, I tried it. I tried praying. It didn't work. Can't try anything. Trust him and keep trusting him and keep trusting him and keep speaking his word. Daniel fasted for 21 days. 21 days he fasted. I wonder what would have happened if he had quit at day 20. I wonder if he had had the same result. He didn't try. Trusted God. He knew his creator. We are to incline our ear to the Father. Faith flows in. It just does. He just says it. Your heart fills with faith. Filled with his word. His word, then, in that trial, in that circumstance, it will come out. God will then be able, he will be able to respond because it's his word. And whatever the circumstance is, it'll move, it'll shift. It'll be cast into the sea. I thank you. Thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, for your precious word. I thank you for truth. I thank you for destroying, dear Lord, the evil one on the cross. Thank you, Father, that you give us truth. Amen. Truth that sets us free from the lies. So we're free, Lord, free in you. Thank you, Father, that you are, Jesus, you're our head and that we are your hands and feet and heart on earth. Father, I pray for every single member, every single brother and sister in this church, Lord, that they yield their body to you so that it can be used for your power to flow through and impact this earth, Lord. For that is why you came. You came to destroy the works of the devil. Thank you, Jesus. In your mighty name, I pray. Amen.